grateful to those who responded to the question earlier, what would we do? When I recorded, when I told you the story of the young lad who, hearing the story of the raising of Jairus' daughter, asked whether Jesus would be able to raise his granddad. Grateful for that. That came from the Scripture Union magazine, which is used by the children. And the editor's answers to some of the, to that particular question said, it's great that this child has taken the story in and has grasped the concept of Jesus being able to do anything, even bring dead people back to life. His is an interesting question, and one few adults are willing to ask. I think I would encourage the child to ask Jesus and find out what happens. If Grandad doesn't come back to life again, I would explain that lots of people died when Jesus was on earth, and he only brought some people back to life. Lots of people are sick, and Jesus only healed some of them. We don't know why Jesus heals and brings some people back to life, but he does heal some. I'd encourage this child to keep talking to Jesus about it. Keep asking honest questions and asking Jesus to do things in his life. Death is often described as the great leveler, because it's something that all of us face, and very often we don't know when it's going to happen. For some, it happens very suddenly. For others, when they're much older. I was at a funeral on Friday afternoon. One of our gymnastic coaches, his father was funeral. He died quite young, at the age of 64, following a heart attack about a week or so ago. And the tragedy for this coach's life is that some 6 months ago, we were attending the funeral of her mother, and 2 years ago, we were attending the funeral of her brother. She now only has in her family one uncle, one aunt, and one remaining brother. And all of this for her was very sudden. In our mum's case, mum was suffering with cancer, so that was expected fairly soon. But in her father's case, it was totally unexpected. He'd gone to pick up some provisions from Booker's Cash and Carry in Canterbury, and in the process of collecting them, had a heart attack and subsequently died in hospital. None of us know the point in which death will meet us. And we can understand the desperation, can't we, of Jairus' daughter, particularly those of us who are parents. We may not be faced with the situation in which our child is facing death, but there have been times, I'm sure, from your own experience, when your children have been ill and you don't really know quite what's wrong with them. And there is that sense of desperation, of despair that kicks in. And to the point when possibly we turn to prayer as one of the only options. What would you do to save the life of your dying child? In this story, there was a man, we've already heard, named Jairus, whose daughter was dying. And he was desperate to save his daughter's life. So what did he do? Here was this distinguished ruler of the synagogue, this man of high standing, and he seeks out this itinerant rabbi from Nazareth named Jesus. And when he finds him, he falls at his feet and begs him over and over again, "My daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she might be well and live." I wonder, would his colleagues in the religious establishment have approved? Probably not. Jairus was very much aware of Jesus and his teaching, and he may have been one of those who was totally opposed to what Jesus was doing. Jesus was meeting with those who any normal Jew would not meet with. those considered to be unclean, those who were sinners, those not part of the established religious cult. And yet Jairus comes to Jesus out of desperation. So what would you do to save the life of your dying child? How far would you go? What would you do to save your own life? Andy Kaufman, who was part of the American television series Taxi, in 1983 was diagnosed with an incurable lung disease. He was expected to live less than 3 months. Kaufman tried chemotherapy, but he was so desperate to find a cure for his disease that he travelled to the Philippines in 1984 to be treated by a so-called psychic surgeon. For 6 weeks, Kaufman received 2-a-day treatments that consisted of the healer appearing to plunge his hand into Kaufman's body to remove the malignant tumours. It was all a fake. Andy Kaufman died on the 16th of May 1984. So what would you do to save your own life? How far would you go if you were faced with something that made you so desperate? Would you go to any lengths to try and find a cure? As Jesus went with Jairus, a large crowd was following him. Were they expecting that Jesus would do a miracle on this occasion? Were they expecting that Jesus would restore Jairus' daughter back to life? Many of them would have possibly thought, well, this isn't possible. They would have laughed at the possibility. And intertwined with this story, as I've already mentioned, is the story of this woman who had been hemorrhaging for 12 years. Her menstruation cycle had continued for 12 long years. Now, being a man, I can't possibly understand what women go through every month and how debilitating for some that can be. And so those ladies amongst us will understand exactly how this woman was feeling. For 12 long years, she had been bleeding. And we read that she had tried everything to be healed. She had spent all her money, but nothing had worked. Her condition was getting worse. And there are possibly those in the world today who are in this same situation, so desperate to find a cure for their illness that they will go to any expense, to any length, to find a cure. But as we all know, ultimately, for all of us, death is there. We can't avoid it. It's not something we can walk away from. But we can be prepared for it. Not only was this woman ill, had been bleeding, so physically she was excluded, but also she was excluded ritually because she was unclean. So she was not allowed to mix with any other Jews. She was outside of the culture socially, physically, and she had to endure this. Financially, she was broke. Imagine her situation. Imagine how she must have felt. Compared to Jairus, this woman was nothing. She was a nobody. Jairus was a high official in the synagogue. This woman was totally excluded. But there she was in the crowd, in a place that she wasn't supposed to be. If anyone had been aware of her, imagine what would have happened. They would have shouted at her. They would have asked her to go away quite blatantly. She was putting others at risk of being contaminated by her uncleanliness. And yet this woman was desperate to save her life. She had done everything. So why was she there? She'd heard about Jesus. She'd believed that if she could only touch his cloak, she would be made well. And so this woman who was to touch no one touched Jesus, and immediately the bleeding stopped. What faith that must have taken, not to talk to Jesus, but simply to touch his cloak. So what would Jesus do? He was on his way to save the life of the daughter of this prominent member of the community, a leader of the synagogue. Would Jesus stop and acknowledge what had just happened to a nobody in the crowd? Would he stop for a nobody and risk the death of a prominent man's daughter? What would he do? And as we recall from the story that was read, Jesus stops and he turns to the crowd and says, "Who touched my clothes?" Here was this huge group of people clustered around Jesus. Any one of them touching him, and yet Jesus knew that this woman had touched his clothes. He felt the power of God leave him. And we see the disciples' response. "Jesus, there are so many people around you, and let you ask, who touched you? How could you possibly know who touched you?" But we discover that Jesus wanted to know who this woman was. And as we recall, this woman came and fell trembling and fearful at the feet of Jesus and told him the whole truth. And Jesus responds and says to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." The fact that Jesus was able to refer to her as daughter meant that she was fully restored to a position in society, no longer excluded, but able to walk with her head high. Here in this story we have this miracle, not only of the raising of Jairus' daughter, but of this woman being restored to health. And we have to ask the question, as we asked earlier, do things like this still occur today? Here's a video clip from a story, a couple who went to Mozambique during the Mozambique uprisings and started a clinic there and weren't granted the necessary authority to run the clinic. Their names are Heidi and Roland Baker. And they arrived in Mozambique in 1994, following the Mozambique Civil War. Even the Red Cross trucks were not safe and were bombed. And during the hard times, sometimes even threatened by death, Heidi and Roland experienced amazing miracles of healing for the blind, crippled, and those affected by AIDS. Listen to this video clip.
"And we built this beautiful clinic, but they wouldn't give us a license.
Warm day, night. We told
our and we prayed and we prayed and we prayed. And then we had a major epidemic with cholera. And this cholera was so bad that the government came and shut our center down, found out we had a clinic, shut the clinic down. They pointed their finger at me and said, 'You're going to kill all of Maputo with this cholera,' and shut our school down, put us in quarantine. 85 of our kids were in the hospital. It was terrible. And our clinic was gone, done in. Didn't matter what we spent on it, it was closed. And I went to the cholera hospital with Supraisa. And we walked in there. It was a miracle because no one's allowed in there. And we just walked right in. We walked right in and they said, 'Seja bem-vindo, mama. Welcome, mom.' And these kids would throw up on me, and the pastor's vomiting and defecating on me. They're just sick. Their eyes are sunken back. Their cheeks are in. And they just said, this is the place they come to die. And I said, no, 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 they're not going to die. And they're not going to keep our clinic closed. And they're not keeping our center closed. And I prayed, and I prayed, because we already lost one center. So this was number two. So my heart's just like pounding. I, no, 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 in Jesus' name, no. And we went, prayed and prayed and prayed. I read the Bible, I preached, I held everybody. Every single person that wasn't from our center got saved. And then, day two, they started getting healed. Day three, more. Day four, we cleared out the entire hospital. Not one person was left sick. Every single person was healed. 100% healed. The doctor said, your God is God. I want to work for you. Her name is Dr. Joanna. She's now the doctor of our clinic. She's the one who pushed through all the paperwork with the government. And the beginning of the eighth year in Mozambique, we got our license.
That's just one story of how the power of prayer can work to bring about restoration and healing. We've been reminded, haven't we, that Jesus doesn't heal on every occasion, doesn't restore life much as we would like it on every occasion. But we can be encouraged by what we read in the Bible and continue to ask questions ourselves when we see situations in which we struggle and we are desperate. Because ultimately God has the answer to all of life. These stories were brought together, I believe, to demonstrate the power of God in a more powerful way than they probably would have done had they been individual stories. It's possible that when they originally happened, that they were quite separate. But the writer, Mark, in Mark's Gospel, has brought these two together to bring about and to challenge us again with the power of what God can do in people's lives. While we can't do anything about those who die prematurely within our society, we do have a responsibility for each of our children to ensure that they don't die without knowing the Lord Jesus. And I would encourage you to continue to pray for our young people and the work that goes on with our children in Bright Sparks Sunday School, that they might come to know the Lord Jesus in a true and a meaningful way. That all of them and all of us would ultimately face death. We can face it in the knowledge that we have been saved by the Lord Jesus and that He has the victory. One more story before we conclude. Story about A.J. Gohill. A.J. was born in Kenya and went to England in 1971. He was raised as an Hindu and worked in his family's business as a news agent. At the age of 21, he contracted a chronic skin disease, erythrodermic psoriasis. His weight dropped from 161 to 105 pounds, and in his desperation to be healed, he travelled all over the world seeking a cure. He spent 8% of his earnings in the process. He took strong drugs that affected his liver. Eventually, he had to give up his job. The disease was all over his body from head to foot. He was so horrible to look at that he could not go swimming or even wear a t-shirt. He lost all his friends, his wife and his son left him. And on August the 20th, 1987, he was in a wheelchair in Elizabeth Ward at St. Thomas's Hospital. He spent over 7 weeks in hospital receiving various kinds of treatment. On October the 14th, he was lying in bed, wanting only to die. He cried out, God, if you are watching, let me die. I'm sorry if I have done something wrong. He said that as he prayed, he found a presence. He looked in his locker and pulled out a Good News Bible. He opened it at random and read Psalm 38, which includes these words: "My sores stink and rot. I am bowed down, I am crushed. I mourn all day long. I am worn out and utterly crushed. My heart is troubled and I groan with pain. Do not abandon me, O Lord. Do not stay away, my God. Help me now, O Lord, my Saviour." Each and every verse seemed relevant to Gohill. He prayed for God to heal him and then fell into a deep sleep. When he awoke the next morning, everything looked new. He went to the bathroom and relaxed in a bath. And he looked at the bathwater. He saw his skin had lifted off and was floating in the bath. He called the nurses in and told them that God was healing him. All his skin was new like a baby's. He had been totally healed. Since then, he has been reunited with his son. He says that the inner healing that's taken place in his life is even greater than the physical healing. He says, "Every day I live with Jesus." Sometimes miraculous things happen and sometimes not. The scripture acknowledges this. For every miracle story, there's a story of someone who wasn't healed, no matter how desperate they were for life or how much faith they had. Ultimately, we're not in control. Our lives are in God's hands. So what are we to do? Do not fear, only believe, and leave the rest up to God. Amen. We're going to come to a time of prayer now, prayers of intercession, and we're going to focus particularly on those involved in healing, doctors and surgeons and hospital staff, and those who seek to bring relief to those who suffer. Let's pray together. Lord, we pray for the world in which we live, and all too often we're aware of those who suffer physically, mentally. We pray for those who seek to bring relief in those situations, those involved in the medical profession, those who seek to heal. We pray for the skill of surgeons' hands, for the comfort of those who bring nursing and seek to bring relief. We pray that you will grant them rest in what is very often a tiring profession. For those that know you as Lord and Saviour, we pray that they might be aware of your presence with them as they seek to bring about relief and healing to those in need. We pray for those organisations involved in mental illness and those who work tirelessly in very often difficult situations, that they might bring some quality of life to those who suffer and comfort and peace to their lives. We pray for ourselves, Lord. You know each of us. And so often when we're asked how we are, we say we're fine. Lord, we pray that we might be honest and let people know exactly how we are in order that they might understand our situation and be able to pray for us more effectively, because we ask these prayers in your name. Amen.